Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the UCLA IDEA Educational Opportunity Report 2011 conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, March the 21st, 2011. I would now like to turn the conference over to Professor John Rogers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for joining the call today. My name is John Rogers. I'm a professor of education at UCLA and director of UCLA's Institute for Democracy, Education, and Access, otherwise known as IDEA. For several years, UCLA IDEA, in partnership with UC Accord, has produced an annual report on learning conditions and educational outcomes across California's public schools. These reports have highlighted California's weak educational infrastructure and disparities across California's communities. Now, conditions have gotten worse. Our report this year examines falling educational opportunities in California public high schools and their consequences for student learning and progress to graduation and college. We begin today's release with comments from California State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tom Torlakson. I then will walk you through the main findings of our report. Following this overview, Principal Todd Eula from Washington Preparatory High School in Los Angeles and Principal Paula Hansel of Sacramento's New Technology High School will speak. Finally, members of the media will have a chance to ask questions of any of the panelists. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce State Superintendent Tom Torlakson, who joins us by phone from Sacramento.
Thank you, Professor Rogers. I really appreciate the opportunity to join you in the discussion of this very important report. It's extremely troubling to all of us in education, those in the community who are in the know, to see just how deeply California students are feeling the effects of what I call the financial emergency in our schools. The bottom line is that the schools are suffering cuts. They've endured cuts that are profoundly affecting our students day in and day out. It's making it harder for our students to do things we all once took for granted, such as seeing a school counselor, to get help in mapping out a pathway to college, to get the courses needed to get to college, just getting the time to ask a teacher a question in our ever-increasingly crowded classrooms, and learning from an up-to-date textbook. These are things that our students are not able to do today that they were able to do before the financial crisis started rolling in 3 years ago. And it's especially disappointing, disturbing to me and to others to see that economically disadvantaged students are getting hurt the most. That's why I declared a state of financial emergency early in taking office in January, just to have the public understand what is going on behind the doors of the school. The lights are on. The public doesn't really see how terribly hurt the schools have been, and education's already been diminished over the last 3 years. 30,000 teachers have lost their jobs, 10 to 15,000 classified. That translates as less opportunity for individual learning for students and some of the most crowded classrooms in the nation. Classes that went from 22 to 24 or 25 students, now up to 40. $18 billion cut over the last 3 years is equivalent to one-third of our schools, K-12 schools' funding for an entire year. Unless the legislature acts and puts the tax investment extension on the ballot, our schools will have to endure an additional cut of $4.5 billion, which is another 10% of their budget disappearing. This report, and thank you, UCLA and Professor Rogers, this report is a wake-up call for Californians and their leaders. I intend to share this report with every member of the legislature and ask them to read it and act on it. We have to invest in education again and start to turn things around. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you as you detail some of the damage and some of the lost opportunities for students in California.
Thank you, Superintendent Torlakson. Our 2011 report on educational opportunities in California comes at a difficult time. Public education spending in California declined last year and then fell further this year. Currently, the state legislature is considering measures, including a possible special election, that likely will determine whether even deeper cuts to education spending will be made next year. In this context, many have expressed concerns about the impact of budget cuts to public schools and their students. But Californians have not been able to link their concerns to systematic evidence until now. Today, we release findings from a summer 2010 survey with a representative sample of almost a quarter of California high school principals. The survey allows us to examine how budget cuts have affected the quality and distribution of educational opportunities in California. Follow-up interviews with 78 of the principals provide further evidence of how new school conditions affect student learning and progress to graduation and college. Four key findings emerge from the study. First, California high schools are providing less time, attention, and quality programs. As a consequence, student engagement and achievement and progress to graduation and college are suffering. Second, school reform is all but sputtered to a halt due to staff cutbacks and the elimination of time for professional development. Third, California's high schools face growing demands from families experiencing economic crisis. Fourth, even as all high schools across the state are impacted by declining budgets, inequality is growing across and within schools. Let me now walk you through the methodology of our study in more detail and then highlight each of our findings in turn. Our study is based on a summer 2010 survey with 277 high school principals. The schools that these 277 principals lead reflect the demographic and geographic diversity of California public high schools. As you'll see in slide number 2, the survey sample is evenly distributed between schools enrolling low, medium, and high proportions of students from low-income families, and includes roughly the same percentage of high schools with low, medium, and high proportions of Latino, African American, and American Indian students as the state as a whole. Schools in the survey pool were from 45 counties spanning northern, central, and southern California. Finally, charter schools are represented in our survey pool in proportion to charter school enrollment in California high schools generally. In addition to the survey, we conducted follow-up interviews with an equally representative sample of 78 high school principals to illuminate the effects of changing conditions on California students. So how have the budget cuts impacted California high schools and California high school students? As you will see in slide number 3, many high school principals report that budget cuts have led schools to reduce instructional time, cutting days from the school calendar, limiting after-school programs, and eliminating summer school. These reductions come as a growing body of research has pointed to the benefits of extending learning time as a strategy for closing the achievement gap. A Solano County principal reported that the cuts created, quote, a sense of urgency because we are at a minimum and can't afford to miss one day, unquote. An Orange County principal feared that cuts to summer school would prevent students from repeating classes they failed during the regular school year. Quote, students are going to not be able to make the credits up, and that's going to impact their eligibility to graduate. Unquote. Slide 4 shows that California high school principals report larger class sizes and cutbacks to guidance counselors. These impacts are particularly noteworthy because before the recession, California classrooms were more overcrowded than high school classrooms in any other state, and California high school students had less access to counselors than students in any state except Arizona. One principal described, quote, classrooms built in 1927 for 32 kids, packed in there with 43, 45, 47. They're sitting on top of each other. It's like Sardineville without the olive oil, unquote. Another reported, quote, sitting in a sea of 42 kids per class, they barely have room to get through the aisles. They get less teacher time, less interaction, unquote. We see in slide 5 that the majority of California principals report their schools have cut instructional materials for English, science, and math classes. Making do with smaller budgets has meant principals don't purchase new equipment, wait longer to replace old materials, require students to share, or ask families to purchase necessary materials, like novels and calculators. All of these strategies affect learning, and they have a disparate impact on students whose families can't afford to help. A Riverside County principal notes that she can no longer afford a class set of frogs for dissection. Now there's just one for the class, which the teacher shows on a document camera. And as the principal reports, that's not really engaging learning. We see in slide 6 that many California high schools are also becoming less safe and clean due to cutbacks to school security guards, custodians, and other staff. Perhaps the most significant long-term impact of the budget cuts has been their effect on school reform. Slide 7 shows that 88% of principals report that school improvement efforts have been negatively impacted. An Orange County principal recounted how reform in her school, quote, just sort of came to a standstill after the district froze our budget and said, you can't pay to release them to give time to work together, unquote. A principal from Placer County acknowledged it was hard to sustain reform efforts when her staff became, quote, just so demoralized, unquote, when the district sent out a number of pink slips. The furloughs imposed in Sacramento County left another principal with a deep sense of ambivalence about whether to request her teachers to take on important additional work. Quote, so then when you say, we're going to cut you, but yeah, we want you to do these 5 things for free now, are there people who would do it? Yes. But do I feel like we should ask them? No. I mean, you can only squeeze the turnip so much. Unquote. The diminished capacity of California public schools coincides with growing social welfare needs of high school students due to the economic crisis. Slide 8 shows that most high school principals have seen growing incidents of homelessness and hunger among their students. In addition to creating strain on students and their families, these conditions make it harder for schools to promote academic success. A principal in San Joaquin County, who describes his community as ground zero for the economic crisis, explained that his school has a mobility rate over 50%. Quote, I had over 1,000 students last year who either entered the high school brand new or left. When you have that kind of mobility rate, when we talk about standardized testing, it makes it much more difficult. Unquote. With unemployment and underemployment rates higher than in decades, many families lack the financial wherewithal to pay for college. As you can see in slide 9, 78% of the principals blame the economy for fewer graduating seniors moving on to 4-year colleges and universities. A principal in Siskiyou County, where unemployment stands at 19%, tells the story of his class valedictorian. He was a, quote, very, very talented young man, and instead of him going to a 4-year institution, because of the economy, he's chosen to go to a 2-year institution, unquote. The principal's responses on surveys and interviews confirm that there are fewer educational opportunities across the state, across small schools and big schools, urban and rural communities, regions hardest hit by the economic downturn, and areas that are beginning to experience recovery. Yet, some schools have been able to protect vital services more than others. While these have been hard times for all, they've been far harder for some. For example, slide 10 shows that principals in high-wealth districts were far less likely than principals in other districts to cut back instructional days or counselors. We see in slide 11 that most private money flows to wealthier schools. Principals in wealthier schools reported a median donation of $100,000 compared to $5,000 for poorer schools. Put differently, wealthier or low-poverty schools raise $20 from private donations for every $1 that high-poverty schools raise. Slide 12 tells a different story about inequality. Schools serving poor students are far more likely than high-poverty schools to charge, schools serving fewer poor students are far more likely than high-poverty schools to charge families fees for services that had previously been covered by the school. For example, 54% of low-poverty schools required fees for arts and music, while only 9% of principals in high-poverty schools required these fees. Principals in high-poverty schools feel they cannot place this extra financial burden on families. As a consequence, some schools are better positioned to maintain services than others. The evidence I've shared this morning offers a sober story about the state of California high schools. But it's important to note that California's educators have not given up. Amidst falling educational opportunities, heightened social welfare demands, and growing inequalities, the principals we spoke with continue to do the best they can with what they have. Many work long hours, rallying their staff and encouraging their students. But California's principals also recognize that certain opportunities matter for student outcomes. For example, time, attention, and up-to-date instructional materials. These conditions cost money. An award-winning principal in Southern California told us, it's not enough to tell schools just do it if the state does not provide the resources, the how to do it. It's not too late to stem California's free fall, but to do so, Californians will need to understand and act upon the connection between budgets, opportunities, and learning outcomes. Thank you. It's now my privilege to introduce two high school principals to join us today. Let me begin with Todd Eula, a principal at Washington Preparatory High School in Los Angeles. Todd?
Yes, good morning. Thank you, John. Yes, I represent a school community in South Los Angeles that is ground zero, as my colleague from Northern California indicated. And our school has been hit very, very hard over these past couple of years with time, attention, and the loss of adequate instructional materials. However, the staff and the community remain committed to making the school a world-class school. In fact, over the last 2 years, we've raised our API 30 points, and we've managed to increase attendance and increase our college-going rates in the face of the last 2 years of budget cuts. But quite frankly, looking ahead at the next round, we have goals, we have actions to set up to reach those goals, and we hope to reform, continue to reform. But under the current budget scenario, as Superintendent Torlakson outlined and your report outlined, it's going to be very difficult to ask people to do more with so much less.
Thank you, Todd. Let me now turn to Paula Hansel in Sacramento.
Thank you, John. I am the principal of a small high school of about 300 students here in Sacramento. And the impact on kids is really, really beginning to show. You know, when they talk all the data and the numbers about the dollars, what they don't show is what happens every day with young people who don't see such a bright future, who see the resources in their school disappearing. You know, my school, I've lost my after-school program for academic support and tutorials, and I'm an urban inner-city school. I've lost my Saturday schools where 100 kids would show up every Saturday for help and to work about school. The closure of outside resources, so I can't refer my parents to all of the counseling services that I have had access to in the past. My kids have to battle to get college classes, and that's part of my graduation requirements, so we're stressed there. I'm going to be losing three teachers, all key to my program, and every teacher in a small school is sort of a key cog in the wheel. You know, we've cut as much as we can cut at my school, quite frankly, without giving blood. I don't have a hall monitor. I have one custodian. It goes on and on and on and on. And I wonder when people in the state of California will recognize you get what you pay for and that we are once again mortgaging our future by not understanding that we have to pay for education now if California is going to be strong economically in the future. You know, ours is a relationship-based house, and I spend about 75% of my day every day on families and kids in crisis. And that's the state of things. I'll continue to do it because that's what we do. I would like to see some relief soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula. We appreciate that. Before we open up to questions, let me close by pointing you to our website on slide 13 that includes reports on conditions and outcomes for each California public high school. You will also find new information about economic conditions in neighborhoods around California's high schools.